Grab your Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. We're continuing to look at individuals that have been called out by God. And today we're going to look at another individual who was called out by God and how incredible the story is of how he followed after God. Well, as we begin, one day Katie and I was coming home from visiting some friends as the sun was setting, and we had to go over the top of a mountain to get home. And when you get to the top of the mountain, the sun was setting, and it was right at, literally, it was at the top of the mountain. So it was impossible to see because the sun was right there. You couldn't see what was in front of you. You couldn't see to the side. And so in order to get over the mountain, the option was, okay, turn around and go another way. Well, to turn around and go back would have added an hour to the trip. So I was like, I don't know about that. And so what I had to do is I had to open my car door, look out my car door, and watch the yellow line. I had to follow the yellow line to get over that hump and get down under the sun where I could see again. You know, we need to follow the yellow line of God. Amen. Turning back is not an option. Because when we turn back, that just adds unnecessary time to our journey. We need to move forward. We need to follow the line. And as we think about that, Elisha would be called by God to follow the line laid out by Elijah. But before he became a great prophet, he would become a great servant. He would have to follow the lead of Elijah. And he knew that for him, there would be no turning back. Elisha would follow Elijah. And what's incredible is Elisha would perform some of the exact same miracles that Elijah performed. 1 Kings chapter 19, starting in verse 19. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" So Elisha turned back from him, took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them, and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful text of Scripture. We thank you for Elijah and Elisha and their willingness to be prophets and to serve you in difficult times. And now as we look at this passage, I pray that you would help us to see that when we give our hearts and our lives to Christ, there is no turning back. We are called to follow you with all that we are, and I pray that is what we will do. I pray now, Holy Spirit, that I would sit down and that you would stand up and that you would take over completely and totally, and that every word spoken would be yours and not mine. I pray, Lord, that you would impact our hearts and our lives today, and I pray that we will worship you. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. Well, as we look at our text, the first thing that we see is we see the need to invest in others. It is crucial for us as Christians to be individuals who invest in the lives of other individuals. And we see that it says in verse 19, so talking about Elijah, he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. Elijah has had a successful ministry, but yet we also know that Elijah has had his moments of doubt. In 1 Kings 18, Elijah boldly stands before the prophets of Baal, calls down the fire from God from heaven, and proclaims that God is God and there is no other, and then he kills all the prophets. Well, then he gets a message from Queen Jezebel that says, I'm going to kill you. And so he tucks his tail and runs. And we see that in 1 Kings 19, in chapter 19 at the beginning. He's running for his life to the point that he says, I'm the only one that's left. In 1 Kings 10:19, he says, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of armies, but the Israelites have abandoned your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I am alone left. And they're looking to take my life. So Elijah finds himself in an interesting place. He has some doubts and some fears. And so God tells him he's not alone. God says, I've got three people that I want you to go anoint, and one of those three is going to be your successor. And so in verse 16, he says, you're to now anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elijah, son of Shaphat from Abel-Molech, as your prophet in your place. And then there was another king that he was to anoint as well. And he also tells Elijah in verse 18 that there are 7,000 who still worship the Lord, helping Elijah see that he's not alone. So Elijah has just had this mountaintop experience, so to speak, where he calls down the fire from God. And then his life is threatened. He's running from his life, and God shows up and says, you're not alone. I've got 7,000, and I've got another prophet that's going to rise up. So you don't have to do this on your own. You know, it's easy for us to feel alone at times in our walk with Christ, isn't it? When we feel that way, God has a way of helping us see that we're not alone. You know, it's interesting. Often when we feel alone, God sends someone to us, whether it's through a message. You know, have you ever gotten a text message when you needed it most? Have you ever gotten a phone call when you needed it most? You know, has someone reached out to you when you were struggling and it just really encouraged you? That is God reminding us that we're not alone. Elijah felt alone, and so God shows up and says, you are not alone. And no matter how alone we feel sometimes as Christians, especially when we look at the wickedness of this world, we're never alone, for God is with us. And so Elijah felt alone, and God's like, nope, there's 7,000. And by the way, Elijah, go anoint a new prophet. You know, when we pick up in verse 19, we see that Elijah would be obedient to what God said. You know, depending on what our job was would determine if we'd want to appoint a successor. You know, it could be, you know, often we wouldn't want to appoint a successor because that would mean our usefulness is coming to an end. But what we see here is Elijah got up, he departed, he found Elisha, and he throws his mantle on him. God reminded Elijah that he was not alone and gave him instructions to go and make Elisha the next prophet. Well, maybe you're here today and you feel alone. You may feel as you are left to serve God by yourself. You may feel as though, you know, this world has just gotten so wicked and you're the only one that believes the way that you do. You're the only one that cares. And I want you to know that you're not alone. God still has many in this world who love him and worship him with all their hearts. There are people all over the world that are still coming to faith in Jesus Christ. There are people all over the country that right now is coming together to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are not alone. God is still king and God is still being worshiped. And Elijah would go and he would pass the mantle on to Elisha. And we see that he walked behind, he throws the mantle on him. And we know that a mantle is a robe, cape, veil, or loose-fitting tunic worn as an outer garment. So it was a type of garment that Elijah wore. And he takes it and he throws it on Elisha. The throwing of the mantle showed that Elisha was being called to be a prophet. Just like Elijah would invest in Elisha's life, we need to have someone that we are investing in. You see, Elijah would invest in Elisha's life, would teach him and train him and help him to grow into the prophet that he would become. He passed the mantle on to him. And you and I need to learn to pass the mantle as well. there's a lot of stuff that is not done anymore because nobody knows how to do it. No, as you think about it, how many of you guys know something that you wish was still done in our world today, but it's not done because nobody knows how to do it? And I wonder why that is. It's because we have not trained the next generation. Now, as we think, there's some great things that used to be done that's not done anymore. And every single one of us, if God was to call us home, we should have someone trained that can pick up where we left off. There should always be someone in place that can do what we do because we never know when God might call us home. And we should not feel threatened by that. And as we think about that, does the next generation even know how to do the things of God? Then the question is, was the next generation trained? At some point in time, we got to get to the point where we stop complaining about how other people act and start investing in their lives. Well, young people today just do... No. What it needs to be is, how can I invest in young people's life to train them the proper way? What if the reason the young people are acting the way they're acting is because us older people have not taken the time to invest in their lives as the Bible has commanded us to? How can they know how to act if we don't teach them? Elijah seems stuck. He felt alone, and so God gives him a new assignment, and that is to go anoint a prophet. I'm going to give you somebody whose life you can invest in. And one commentary says, a new assignment often lifts us from the ashes. Such an assignment may involve preparing others for service. We must fight well in the present, but we must also prepare others for the future, as did Jesus, who fought victoriously and trained up others to take the good news to the nations after his ascension. Before Jesus left this earth, he made sure he had people trained to follow in his footsteps. Before Elijah is taken up into heaven by a whirlwind, God makes sure that there's someone who can take over, and that is Elisha. Maybe we're here today and we need a new assignment. And maybe that assignment is we need to invest in someone else's life. The Bible tells older men to invest in younger men. When I look at our world today and I see, we don't have a lot of men anymore. We have little boys running around that don't know how to take care of their families. They know how to get the girl pregnant, but they sure don't know how to take care of the baby once they do. And they know how to play their video games. I'm not necessarily saying that's bad, but they know how to do those. We got a lot of little boys running around that are 20 and 30 and 40 years old. Amen. And the problem is because the older men have not invested in their lives. I mean, look at our churches. God put the man in charge, and most of the work is done by the women. Think about it. Look, every year when we get to our deacon list, we're lucky if we have two men that stay on the deacon list. You know, what's wrong with our world? We're not following the Bible. We're not doing what God has called us to do. What's wrong with the next generation? We haven't trained them. And ladies, the same goes for y'all. The Bible calls older women to invest in younger women's lives. Well, I can't believe these girls are dressing like this. Well, teach them how to dress. Teach them how to be wives. Teach them how to be godly women. Teach them how to raise their children. There's a reason God calls older men to invest in younger men and older women to invest in younger women, because y'all got a lot more knowledge and life experiences. And you have a lot to offer. And so it is crucial that you have somebody that you're investing in. I've always said we all need a Paul, and we all need to be a Paul and a Timothy. And what that means is Barnabas came along and invested in Paul's life. So you and I, we need somebody invested in our lives. No matter how long you've been a Christian, no matter how old you are, you need somebody invested in your life. And we all need a Timothy. Paul invested in Timothy's life. We all need to have somebody that we're investing in. And so I want to challenge you, find somebody. All you older men, find a younger man and invest in his life. All you older ladies, find a younger lady and invest in her life. And teach them the way they are to go. Whose life are you investing in today? The first thing we see is invest in others. The second thing that we see in the text is God is the one who calls. As we look at verse 20, it says, "And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you.' And he said to him, 'Go back again, for what have I done for you?'" So what we see is, first of all, is Elisha is eager. As we look at this verse, it's easy to think that Elisha was not ready because he wants to tell his parents goodbye. Well, he said he wanted to go back and tell his parents goodbye, so that means he's not ready. But that's not what's taking place in this text. What we see is Elisha is quick to respond to Elijah. Elijah walks by, throws his mantle, and keeps on walking. And Elisha gets up and runs after him and says, "I'm going to go tell my parents bye, and I'm coming." He is eager and ready to serve the Lord. He left his oxen and ran after Elijah. We also see the excitement in Elisha and his willingness to serve God. You know, he wants to say goodbye to his family. That's a reasonable request. But he says, "I'm going to go say bye, then I'm going to follow you." Elisha was quick to respond to Elijah, and he was ready to leave his past behind and follow after God to the place that God called and the call that God had placed on his life. What about us? Are we willing to leave our loved ones behind and follow after God? Elisha is about to make that choice. We saw that Abraham made that choice to leave everything they knew and loved behind, to go somewhere else, and to be what God has called them to be. Because here's the thing, God's call trumps everything else. Amen. When God calls, we go, period. The other question is, do we serve God with excitement? And I'm really about to ruffle some feathers this morning. Are we like, "This is awesome, I get to serve God"? Amen. Or are we like our favorite nominating committee response? "Well, if you can't find nobody else, I guess I'll do it." You guess you'll serve God? I'm sorry that serving God is such a burden. We need to serve him with excitement. I get to get up and go to, I get to preach today. I get to teach Sunday school. I get to teach a Bible study. I get to tell somebody about Jesus. No, we should be excited to come to church. We should be excited to read our Bible. We should be excited to serve God. I get to cook a meal for somebody else and watch them enjoy it. I get to get up and sing a song. We should be. I get to mess with these buttons in the sound room. This is awesome. I get to serve Jesus. We should be excited. When the nominating committee comes and asks us for a position, we should be excited. We should be honored that the nominating committee has enough confidence in us to do this job. But how often do we see it as a burden? And how often do we only take the position if there's no one else to do it? And we've got certain positions in this church that haven't been filled in 3 years. Ain't because we don't have enough people to do it. When it comes to serving our great and awesome God, there should be an excitement that we should want to join in what God is doing. God is doing great things, and we should want to join in. We should want to be a part of it. Well, then Elijah makes this interesting comment. Upon the request to go back and tell his parents goodbye, Elijah says to Elisha, "What have I done?" What this is Elijah is saying, "I'm not the one that called you. God is. God's the one that's calling you to be a prophet." And so what Elisha did would be between him and God, not him and Elijah. Elisha did not have to follow after Elijah, but he did, and he would become a great man of God, as we'll see here in a few minutes. We have a choice to make. Are we going to hold on to the past, or are we willing to leave it behind in order to follow after God and the call that he's placed on our lives? And that leads us to our final point today. No turning back. When we choose to follow after Christ, there's no turning back. As we look at verse 21. So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh, using the oxen's equipment, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. What we see taking place here is Elisha broke from his past. When it comes to serving God, there's no turning back. Elijah would go back, but the purpose of him going back was to break from his past. Notice what he does. He boils the yoke of oxen and uses the equipment. His livelihood, his job, his duty was working these 12 teams of oxen. And the fact that they had 12 shows that it was a wealthy family. And so when he takes and breaks the yoke, uses the yoke to burn the oxen on and burns the oxen, he is saying, this life is over. I'm getting rid of the equipment and I'm going to start something new. So he is breaking from his past. This shows that he has given up that life. He's given up his past by destroying his equipment and oxen. And he knew that this part of his life was over. He was to begin a new journey, and he would not look back. One study Bible says, Elisha burned his plow and slaughtered his oxen to signal a complete break from his past and his present calling. From now on, he would serve the Lord. Another study Bible says Elisha is fully committed to his new call. He sacrifices his oxen on a fire made from his plowing equipment. For him, there could be no turning back once he has set his hand to the spiritual plow. Elisha would leave his past behind and he would become something new. God calls us to let go of our past and to live for Jesus. At times, we need to break from our past. You know, sometimes I get tired as a pastor of hearing, well, we've never done it that way before. Sometimes I get tired of hearing, well, this is the way we've always done it. So? Doesn't mean it's wrong, doesn't mean it's right. At times we need to break from our past. We can hold on to what was that we're not able to see what is or what will be. Some of us are so stuck in the past of what this church was that we can't see what God is doing now. And it's sad. Some of us are still looking back to what was, and we're not able to see what is. Because I'm here to tell you, God is doing some great things in this church. If you don't believe that, come one Wednesday night and see how many kids are in the back running around. It's incredible. If you don't believe that, come one Sunday night and join us in a Bible study and see what God does in the back on Sunday nights. God is doing some great and incredible things, and sometimes we get so stuck in the past. Elisha would let go of his old life and become something new. We are to become what God wants us to be. When we give our lives to Christ, we become something new. We become something different. 2 Corinthians tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. We are to let go of who we were in order to become who God wants us to be. Let me say that again. We need to let go of who we were. in order to become who God would have us to be. I cannot be who God wants me to be if I'm still stuck in my past. And we all have a past. And we all have sins in our past. And we all have mistakes in our past. But praise be to God, He forgives us. Praise be to God, He does not hold our past against us. So no matter how dark or dreary our past is, our future can still be bright in Jesus. We just need to let go and let God. We just need to let go and let God move in our hearts and in our lives. When God calls, we need to move forward and not backward. Sometimes as a church or as a people, we can take one step forward and two steps backward. And we just need to take three steps forward and be done with it. God called Elisha, and God would use Elisha in a mighty way. However, before Elisha became the great man of God, he needed to be a servant first. The text shows us that Elisha rose, followed Elijah, and became his servant. Elisha had some things he needed to learn before he became the prophet. He had some lessons. Just as Elisha followed the steps of Elijah, we need to follow the steps of Jesus. It is important for us to learn and grow and understand what the Bible says. It's important for us to sit under sound, godly teaching. We need to hear what the Bible says. We need to hear what it is teaching. We need to hear what it has to say. We are to learn how to do what God has called us to do. I am so grateful for pastors in my life that have come alongside of me and helped me and encouraged me to be a better pastor. And I'm so grateful for the things that I've learned from y'all. I truly believe that the pastor should learn as much from the congregation as the congregation learns from the pastor. And when the pastor stops learning and when the congregation stops learning, that's when it's time for a change. And I'm here to tell you, I've learned so much from y'all. You all have been an incredible blessing in my life. You've helped me grow as a pastor. You've helped me grow in my preaching. You've helped me grow in my interactions with people. And yeah, I still have a lot to go. But that's the beauty of it. We all are growing. And we are to help each other. And that's why it's so important for us to listen. To sit under proper godly teaching. To study the Word. This is why small groups are so important. This is why Bible studies are so important. This is why Sunday school is so important. Because we're able to sit down, study, and learn. And grow in our walk with Christ. As a great leader, Elisha started as a great learner. Every great leader was a great learner. Because you have to learn. And oh, what a great leader Elisha would become. As we get into 2 Kings, we see the great leader and prophet that Elisha would become. Elisha would be able to do all these things because he accepted the call that God placed on his life. God shows up, tells Elijah, go and anoint Elisha as a prophet. Elijah throws his mantle on Elisha. Elisha gets up, follows, breaks from his past and says, yeah, I'm all in, God. When it comes to serving God, we need to be all in. It was God that called him to be a prophet, and what a great prophet he was. I want us to take a few moments as we close this morning, and I want to review some of the highlights from the life of Elisha. I want us to review some of the things that he did as a result of his obedience to his call to God and his learning from Elijah. Listen to this. First of all, when Elijah left the earth, the first thing that Elisha says is, give me a double portion of your spirit. Amen. You talk about a powerful request. I want a double portion of your spirit. Elisha would show that he had the power of Elijah when he returns and he would part the water. Elisha multiplies a widow's oil, just like Elijah did. Elisha raises a widow's son, just like Elijah did. Elisha makes a stew safe. In 2 Kings 4, it says they served some of the meat to eat. But when they ate the stew, they cried out, "There's death in the pot, man of God." And they were unable to eat it. Then Elijah said, "Get some flour." He threw it in the pot, serve it, it's safe. Elisha multiplies bread. In 2 Kings 4, again, it says a man from Baal Shemesh came to the man of God with his sack full of 20 loaves of barley bread from the first bread of the harvest. Elijah said, "Give it to the people to eat." But Elisha's attendant asked, "What? Am I to set it before 100 men?" "Give it to the people to eat," Elisha said, "for this is what the Lord says, they will eat and they will have some left over." So he set it down before them, and as the Lord promised, they ate and had some left over. Jesus did that twice. Elisha performed a miracle that Jesus would later perform twice. Elisha sends Naaman to be healed. Remember when Naaman comes from another country of leprosy and goes to the prophet, and the prophet in the power of God heals him. Elisha causes the axe head to float. Elisha has the army of the Lord with him. 2 Kings 2 says, "Then Elisha prayed, 'Lord, please open his eyes and let him see.' So the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw that the mountain was covered with horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." Elisha was called by God and did great things for God. We are called by God, and you know what? We can do great things for God too. Instead of looking back at what was, instead of focusing on the past, instead of saying, "Well, I remember the good old days," we need to look at what God has placed in our lives and move forward to what God is doing in the here and the now. Because again, God is doing some great things, and we can either get on board or get out the way. God is telling us it's time for a change. God is telling us it's time for revival. God is telling us it's time to let His Holy Spirit loose. God is telling us it's time to step up and be men and lead in the church. God is telling us it's time to train the next generation. God is telling us it's time to get up out of our pews and do something. God is telling us it's time to be called by God and to serve God and to not look back. Instead of looking back, we need to look at the call that God has placed on our lives and say, "Yes, Lord, yes." What has God called you to do? The call of Elisha to be a prophet is an incredible call. He would accept that call and he'd follow after the Lord. He would serve the Lord with a life devoted to Him. What about us? Are we living out the call that God has placed on our lives, or are we still in the past? What is God saying to us today? Maybe we're here today and we need to invest in others' life. I want to challenge you, every single person in here, find somebody whose life you can invest in, that you can teach and you can train. Maybe we're here today and we need to see that our call comes from God. Maybe it's not the nominating committee asking you to do something, maybe it's God. You ever think about this? When a nominating committee comes to you and you tell them no right off without praying, you might actually be telling God no. It's kind of scary to think about. Maybe we're here today and we need to stop looking back. We need to let go of the past and we need to see what God is doing and what God is going to do. Whatever God is saying to us today, will we let the Spirit of God speak to us? Awesome, Father, Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for this beautiful passage, and we thank you for the incredible call that you placed on Elisha's life and the man that he would become. It is incredible, Lord, to think of the things that he did for you. It's incredible to see the way that he served you, the way that he performed incredible miracles simply because he was obedient to the call that you placed on his life and he was willing to learn. And I pray the same for us. I pray that we would first be obedient to the call that you place on our life. And I pray that we'd be willing to learn how to live out and do that call to the best of our abilities. Holy Spirit, move as only you can. And Lord, if there's someone here today that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that they would understand and realize that the only reason we're able to serve is because Jesus served. That we're only able to serve because Jesus gave his life on the cross for our sins. And that his precious blood is the only way to heaven. And so if there's someone here today that doesn't know you, I pray that they would come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, we thank you. We love you. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen.